You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This week in our sight loss story feature, we are hearing from Laura Francis and her diagnosis of sight loss, which came quite late. She is also a teacher, so we'll find out how that works too in terms of teaching and sight loss. Laura, I'll jump into the first question. Can you tell me what your sight condition is? Because it's quite a rare one.
I was born with a rare condition called Bardet-Biedl syndrome, but I didn't know I had the condition until I was the age of 25. I was born with polydactyl, so I had an extra flappy finger on my left hand and an extra toe on my right foot that was crossed across the other toes. So back in the 90s, the doctors went, oh, you've got extra digits, we'll just cut them off. As a kid, I was a lot bigger than most kids because my brain and my stomach don't communicate, and I never know when I'm actually full and when I'm really hungry. Again, you go to the doctors and the doctors see you as a larger kid and go, oh, to your parents, they must just be feeding you too much. Okay. And then as a child, like growing up, I was very poor with English. I had slow processing, still as an adult do. I have a very small group of friends. I was bullied as a kid for like the way I acted and the way I was perceived and things at school. But for me, maths was my calling, and maths was the thing that kind of saved me, I'd say, at school, along with my reading at home. At bedtime, I'd read, and outside, I'd read. And between those things, I found my love, and I found my way to survive through school of just getting my head down, working hard, and not making too much noise. And I hated putting my hand up in class because I never wanted to look silly. Spelling still to this day is a struggle. I have to sound words out, or if a kid asks me, Miss, how do you spell this? Or what does this mean? Hang on a minute, let me Google. So that was, English was my priority, but I'd say when I was in my mid-teenage years, I used to go to the eye hospital for my sight, and I used to go to my opticians that I still go to, and there was a lady there who had just literally trained, and she looked to the back of my eye and went, there's something not normal there, let's go and send you for tests. So the process started when I was probably about 15, 16, and they thought I had something blocking the back of my eye, and I was where the blood vessels were, and I was going to end up in a wheelchair. But we had scans, there was nothing. Then several more years, the next 5 years, we came to the conclusion that I had retinitis pigmentosa, which if you tell people you've got that, they're like, that's very common. I stumbled across a doctor who turned out had been working at St. Thomas's and knew about BBS, which not many people know about. And when you go to the doctors these days and say, oh, I've got Bardet-Biedl syndrome, what is it? She heard of it, knew about my eyes having RP, and I get floaters, and it affects my peripheral vision mainly. But she also went, you were born with polydactyl, I'm sure you've got this, go and get tested. Got tested, positive for the gene, and literally since then it was like all the things that I had as a kid just made sense. As a kid, I just thought I was weird, different, didn't really understand who I was, didn't really understand life, and wish I had someone that knew what was going on and could connect the dots. And since then, like, things for me have made sense. As I said, I am a teacher. I teach maths to secondary school kids who really aren't aware that I have a sight condition because it's not obvious. It's not like I'm blind or anything like that. It's just that I struggle peripherally. I struggle with my depth perception. I have to look down when I go down the stairs. But then 2 years ago, everything changed again. It was like, right, everything's going smoothly here. I know I've got BBS. I know how to manage it. I know exactly what's happening. I can deal with the floaters. I can deal with peripheral vision. But 2 years ago, suddenly I get these flashes of light happening, which now I've been told is common of RP. Basically, the light hits my eye. My eyes send off signals. For me, it's flashes of light. For other people, it's like you've got an imaginary friend. As much as I do talk to myself quite a lot, I'm glad I don't have that person standing there thinking I'm talking to someone day in, day out. And when it first happened, I thought, this is the end of it. Because when you first get diagnosed with a rare condition, they do say, Oh, you do know that one morning you might wake up and everything has gone. And it wasn't a case of, can I not do my job? Can I drive? Can I see any of that? It was, so what happens now? What do I do? And they were like, well, unless anything major changes, you'll probably be stable for the next 20 years. And touch wood, that's where I am. Things are still quite stable for me. The flashes really affected my confidence and made me think, is this it? Am I everything I've learned got to change? Everything I've done going to be different? But all that really happened was I just had to adapt a bit more. And it took maybe a year, 2 years, changing my working habits, adapting to who I am, and not being scared of them, but just going, right, I've got to close my eyes for 2 seconds and then I can carry on. Being diagnosed later in life, probably in hindsight, I wish that I'd known as a kid who I was and what I've done. But now, as an adult, things do make sense.
So moving on to adapting to, having to do things differently, you've mentioned how you had to change certain things. What did you find helped you the most to kind of adapt to you living with low vision? What did you find what did you find useful?
The flashes to begin with were exhausting, and the whole thing was exhausting because you're trying to deal with something that's changed, along with trying to still do what you've learned for the last 20 odd years of your life. I'm not going to say it was easy to begin with. It's very hard. And I suppose I'm quite a stubborn person that does things the way you want things to be done. I think for me, having a very supportive head of department, a very supportive school, colleagues, friends, family helped the changes. Because at a drop of a hat, I would say if it was a bad day and there were lots of flashes and I was very tired and I just couldn't see the wood for the trees or be able to teach properly, my head department would just be like, what can I do? How can I step in? So it helped alleviate some of the stress, some of the pressure. When I go out in the dark, I know I have to take a torch with me. I know I have to stick to well-lit roads. I know that I have to look down when I'm going down on a platform, for example, going downstairs. I know that there's certain people that know about my condition, family, friends, and I literally just don't even have to ask anymore. There's an arm there for me to use in the night time. Public transport, obviously, we have to get used to. Sometimes it's brilliant, sometimes it's blooming awful. Sometimes the public don't even realise sometimes, and you'd walk into them, and that's what worries me. If you walk into someone and they make an effort, and it's like, but I can't see you. I couldn't see your feet. I've changed my working hours. I've gone part-time, which to begin with was a very hard and difficult decision for someone who's driven, ambitious. I'd say that by going part-time, as much as it was hard, it was the right thing because it enabled me to go, right, I need energy for this amount of time, but now I can go for a walk. Now I can just sit in a dark room. Now I can do what my eyes need to be able to then carry on and be the best person for everyone else. And doing that, along with dealing with what was actually happening and talking about it, enabled me to now be in much a better and positive perspective. And as I said, now when it happens, a flash or a floater, or my head's a bit all over the place, I've got tools and techniques to help myself to then be able to keep going and be able to help others to a point and give the advice that I wouldn't be able to do if I hadn't been through this journey myself.
Is there anything that you do in terms of, being in a classroom and teaching kids or, looking at work and stuff? Is there anything you do to adapt that to make that a little bit easier?
In one of my classrooms that I'm mainly in now, which that massively helps, rooming for me massively helps. If I'm in the same room, therefore my brain doesn't have to think, right, what do I need to take with me? What do I need to be aware of? What's the lighting like? What's the flooring? All those things you have to think about are completely taken out of scenario. At the back of my classroom, I have one of those concave mirrors that enables you to see round corners. So before, in my previous school, I used to have to stand on a diagonal to help my peripheral. Now in this school, because I have it and it's a lot of things you have to fight for, it's not a case that people think outside the box and think, what might you need? You've got to think for yourself. But by having it, I can stand anywhere in the room and see what anyone's up to. And it then means I don't have to worry about, well, I didn't see that happen, something out of the corner of my eye. That helps me. As I said, the kids don't even know. Sometimes I have to close my eyes and it looks like I'm thinking for 2 seconds and then I carry on my train of thought. I find that different lighting settings have an impact. If it's those little spotlights, they're terrible. If it's like proper square tiled lights, they're fine as long as it's not too bright outside, and then might have to change the lighting a bit. And my laptop screen, obviously, I've made the sizing bigger. I have a big mouse, which the kids laugh about when they see the purple mouse on the screen that's quite large. And I'm like, guys, I need it, otherwise I get lost. And they have a little laugh. Little things that people wouldn't think about that make a massive difference. I mean, that the lo physical load you have of having a sight impairment and having to watch things, you don't have to worry about so much because you know where everything is and you've set it up the way that enables you to then just go, right, all I've got to do is put my lessons on the board, worry about the kids, go around and help them. I haven't got to think, where's this piece of paper? Where's that pen? Where, how do I use the board? Where, what if the tables are quite close? I've got no room to move. It's things that people don't think about until you push for it and you have to fight a lot, I feel, for things, which I wish we didn't have to. I wish it could just be a case of, well, I've got this. What can we do for you? Not right. Can I have this? Oh, I don't like that room. Can I be there? So sometimes you have to fight for things, but by fighting for it and saying, this is what I want, it then in the long run makes life easier.
You've been on quite a journey so far, and there's probably plenty of learning and discovering still to go. But from your own experience so far, if you were to, speak to someone who's fairly new to sight loss, which you do already, because you're also a mentor. But what would you say to people who are new to sight loss, who don't know how to deal with it, or who are still very much learning?
Everyone's sight loss journey is different. No one's is the same. No two people, especially with my condition of Bardet-Biedl syndrome, will have the same symptoms, will have the same journey. Friends of mine that have got it, we're all different. Yes, we all have the same gene, but we're all different. And the same with sight loss, like everyone's journey is different. Everything will progress at different rates and at different times. But you've got to take the time, you've got to be patient with it. Nothing's going to like happen straight away. Losing your sight and not having it just means you have to adapt a little bit. And there are plenty of good things out there, and there are plenty of good resources out there and things that can help you. I wouldn't be scared of it, a sight loss journey. You, as I said, you'll find there'll be bumps along the road. There'll be highs, there'll be lows. There'll be times when you're scared and annoyed and all that. But to anyone, you need to talk about it. You need to have that group of friends that you feel safe and secure around and can give you advice. Like, I've had so much good advice from people that some of it's worked, some of it you go, nah, that don't work for me. And you try something else. Take the journey, take the time, learn about things. If you've got a condition that means you're part of a community, a group, go and learn more about it. Go to those conferences, meet people, because generally, I'd say quite a lot of the sight loss community, most of them are lovely, most of them care, and most of them want to help you and want to see you grow and not be that person that's just like, well, I've got a sight condition, therefore I've got a cower in the corner because no one knows anything about it. Whatever it is out there, go and find it and use it to your advantage because there are plenty of people out there who know exactly what you're going through, know exactly how it affects you. And the only way you're going to go through your journey, as much as you think, oh, I'm on my own, I'm the worst person here, I need to go through it on my own. But going through it with others and seeing the journey and seeing the ups and the downs and the positiveness and what you can do, we can all do the same as any other person. And anyone who tells you that because you've got a sight problem, you can't do what someone else can. Well, you prove them wrong because that's what I love to do. I love to prove people wrong and go, yeah, look, I can do it. Just I've got to do it a bit differently. And you'll learn your ways and you'll find your ways. It won't be easy. It won't be a quick journey. It's going to be long and patient, but in time, you'll get there and you'll be stronger for it.
Well, certainly a very inspirational one at that, and I think that's why we like these sight loss stories. They provide truly great experiences of people. So thank you very much, Laura Francis, for sharing your sight loss story here with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.